Welcome to yet another installment of Page Bacon Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything related to the written word. I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And today we have Brian Olszewski on the line, creative development lead for the Starboard Games and avid writer of all things fiction. Welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Did I get your name right? I hope I didn't murder it there.
No, it sounds fine.
Okay, great. Excellent. Brian, you've recently been working on a rather ambitious project for Starboard Games, writing the backstory for a role-playing game, RPG for the kids out there, called Int. Can you tell us a little bit about your role in the development and how the idea for this futuristic adventure came about?
Yeah, it's the brainchild of, you know, the project lead, Justin Beese. And I think he had this, you know, germ that he worked on for quite a while. And so it's his baby, and we're helping him bring it to life. In terms of my role, I came on really early in the project. I've been with it for quite a while. I started out on the writing team back in February of 2014. So we're going to be coming up on 2 years now. And my first assignment was to begin writing lore. And Justin had a lot of things in place, but like a template, a map of things that he wanted to do and create and write about. And one of the first things that I had to do was write the planets for some of the larger sort of areas in space, what we're calling like the core system, like the middle colonies. And so that's what I did for a while. So basically my role was to help generate like planets and systems for INT or INT.
Wow. You wrote roughly 40,000 words of material for INT, which is close to the length of a short novel. And the detail of the lore is impressive, involving multiple worlds and untold number of characters. How do you even begin to develop such a lavish environment?
Well, like I said, I think Justin was prepared for this task from the get-go. And he had, you know, given me, it was like a really nice balance between things that needed to be there, like a system or a planet, and sort of an open book where I could, you know, go create and see what happens. And so what I did is, depending upon like the nature of the planet, like if it was a mining colony, I would kind of just do some like research and reading along online to kind of think about like, well, you know, what sort of minerals might be mined and why, and then what sort of facilities might be there. And then think about like the sort of colonial settlements. And then you think about like the geography and these sorts of things too. So it's a lot of, I think, reading. And I think if you do want to be a writer, you do have to read, whether it's for, you know, research or just to, you know, see how other writers put sentences together and ideas together. So it was a lot of reading, as well as a lot of writing. So that was kind of fun. I like learning about new things, and so that was pretty cool.
Excellent. Saying that you need to read to be a writer is sort of like thinking like, oh, well, I want to be a painter, but I'm not going to look at other paintings.
Yeah, why?
Why not?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Page Bacon was fortunate enough to print your story, The Initiation, in the first publication. But as I understand it, the story was adapted from work that you originally developed for INT. So how was The Initiation?
Is it INT or is it INT?
You know, it goes back and forth. In my mind, it's always been INT. But you know, when we meet as a group, a lot of folks do call, you know, refer to it as, INT. But I'd say INT because at one point we kind of messed around, like thinking about, you know, like maybe INT stands for something. So I kind of still gravitate towards the idea. But originally it was supposed to be Interstellar, but then some kind of small movie came out. So
yeah,
we couldn't use that anymore.
Okay.
So what did you do to revise that into a standalone story?
Well, this is how it came about. Like when I was still part of the writing team, this was, I think, last August. You know, I think Justin, the writing league at the time, they wanted to, you know, just do a short story and see what we could do with it. We had a, you know, a connection for a creepypasta sort of story you could put like up on YouTube, and you know, kicked around some ideas. Justin is very interested in you know, things, gothic, horror, these sorts of like spooky tales. And I've always had an affinity for those sorts of stories as well. So, you know, I pick up the task. And basically where it fit in, where is this goes back sort of like to the history of part of the lore in the game, in our universe. And there were some, you know, our solar system, Sol, was being colonized by, you know, these large mega corporations that are called like the J-10, Jupiter 10 in the game. And so we thought it would be pretty cool to think about, like, well, what happened on Venus? And in our lore, in our backstory, it was colonized by a corporation, but it failed. And we thought about, like, ooh, maybe there's some interesting things that happen, or some, you know, rumors of this and that and the other. And we decided to go with, like, a horror gothic story. And so the initiation kind of is like a small sort of, you know, snippet of what happened, the aftermath of what happened.
Now, you mentioned 10 in there. You've started work on a new graphic novel. Is it 10's Day or 10?
Kind of like the Venus Tragedy.
Sorry?
It is 10's Day. It is 10's Day.
10's Day. So the graphic novel 10's Day, which expands on the universe of INT with the goal of enriching the overall saga. How tightly wound are these two storylines? And will this new story and characters be familiar to the players of INT? And can you tell us a little bit about the new story?
Yeah, well, you know, kind of like picking up like on you know, the initiation, that happens like, you know, years, decades before like when the game proper begins, which I think it's like 22.
So it's almost a prequel.
Well, sort of, yeah. So like the game will start in like 2248. And in 10's Day will start in 2238, 2239. And so I'm working like 10 days before, like 10 years before the start of the game. So I'm seeding something, like one of the characters who is a young child in 10's Day will be a companion character in the game. So there's that like buffer zone that I have, that I have a little bit more leeway because it's not like going into the game. And so I'm kind of like with the initiation and 10's Day, kind of filling out some of the backstory and lore through like a short story, and then with the graphic novel. So we'll see some characters, but not as many. But what we'll see are like character types, and so like cartels are a big part of the game. And so you're going to see like a cartel assassin, and you're going to see a little bit of like Vapor, like a drug in the game, and these sorts of things. So it's not necessarily a prequel, but it sort of gives you a sense of a larger world and some of the character types that you'll be encountering when the game is released.
And so when you write for a graphic novel, do you have an artist in mind to conceptualize that scenery? And I don't mean necessarily that you have a particular artist in mind, but do you find that it helps to have a visual style pictured when you write for such a visual medium?
Yeah, and I think, you know, like we kind of just, we don't want to do like a manga or like overly cartoony. And so we want to, you know, if you open up kind of just like a, you know, I don't know, something from Image or whatever, you know, right, on Oni Press or whatever, you know, something along those lines. So yeah, we didn't want anything too cartoony or too manga-like. So yeah, so I'm not running for a particular artist so much. You know, it's more like we want, like, there's like some gritty, noirish aspects to it. I think, you know, the first artist who did that issue zero that's on the website, Joshua, did a really nice job kind of capturing that vibe.
Now, I imagine creating a graphic novel involves close collaboration with the illustrator and the colorist. Have you worked out a process? Would you, as the writer, simply pass your writing to the illustrator, or would you need to do a bit of sketch work yourself to indicate how the text would be broken up in the layout?
I'm not much of an artist, so I don't do much sketch work, but I think like I do kind of work visually in terms of like I see panels, and that's how I kind of work. But in terms of like the sort of flow of production, I will, you know, write a story and panel it out in terms of like there'll be like three or four panels here. And when I first started out, I used, I think, a lot of description, too much, But as I, you know, near the end, like it was like 100 pages, I started using less and less, just because I think in my mind, I wanted the artist to, you know, kind of bring, you know, the panels to life, and perhaps too much description on my end might be like overburdening the artist. And so the process is that like I'll script it out, and I'll provide to the artist. And if the artist has any questions, we can go over. If we need to get rid of panels or add a panel or add a page or whatever, then we don't kind of, you know, becomes more of a conversation. But right now it's just for Ten's Day, it's me. And Ryan is, you know, penciling out and inking some things right now. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. We don't have the colors right now. We might go black and white with it. We haven't decided.
Since Ten's Day is branched from the Intverse, do you feel it's easier to develop the story because you have an existing structure to work from? Or do you feel that having the base universe limits the direction that you can take the story? How closely do you have to adhere to the original axiom to be able to say, this new story is part of the original universe?
Well, I think it's just kind of like an extension of like Justin's vision of not only the game, but like how he wants to establish like a working relationship with everybody on the team. So like I described, like, you know, for the planets, he gave me some things to kind of think about, to include that needed to be there. But he also, you know, gave me a sort of carte blanche. And, you know, for the game, I feel like it's a gift to have like this base, this universe, from which to draw, but also at the same time being 10 years, you know, prior to the actual opening moment of the game, I still have like a little leeway to kind of like expand on, you know, some of these minor character or character types and give us some food for thought to think about when, you know, generating more characters and backstory for the game. So I think it's like from a working standpoint for me, I enjoy like working like on the peripheries of the game, but still being like in my mind part of like the center of like the lore universe. So I have a little bit more leeway. So I don't do like a lot of writing per se for the game right now, but I do have input, and you know, I'm sort of like an editor for a lot of these documents that are being written, and provide feedback and, you know, just general observations and, you know, to some of the members in the creative development and writing team.
So on the internet, there's almost an unlimited avenue for digital communication. It's become very common for teams to exchange ideas almost entirely from remote locations. Even if that involves large amounts of data being transferred, do you often work on projects remotely? And is that something you feel comfortable doing? Or do you tend to look for others who share a physical location where you can get together with them?
Well, in terms of like INT, you know, I never had Skype prior to joining the team, and now I'm on Skype all the time. So that's how we communicate primarily through Skype. We have team meetings this morning, what is it, 9 Pacific, like our time, every Sunday. That's when we have the creative development meeting.
You're in different time zones?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. Yeah. We had a person kind of switched. Harrison was on the writing team, but he went over to like the dev team. He's doing some art now. But he was in Australia, and he showed up. I don't know what time it was, like 2 in the morning for him, but he was there.
Yeah, that's about as far difference as you can get.
Yeah.
So this morning, I think we usually have like at least like 4 or 5 at the bare minimum. But like, you know, Justin goes to every team lead meeting, and there's a number of them every week. And then we do our creative development every Sunday. So I was there. I made the call. Then we had Panda, who's kind of leading a couple of projects. She's working on a card game, so she was at the meeting. We had Dave, who was a writing lead, like the writing lead for the game, it's proper. And we had 2 writers and another lorist. And we had Jacob from PR, who shows up to creative development too. So we had a robust meeting today. So I'm used to remote work now. In addition to Skype, we use Trello to share work. So each team, on the starboard, the large starboard, you know, LC, you know, banner, working on INT has their own Trello board. That's where artists share work for the game, writers share work, coders have their own Trello board, and even the sound department has one too. So it's really easy, honestly, to kind of work on a team that's large. We have about like maybe close, like between 25 and 30 people on the team now.
Wow, that's a lot. And I imagine in some of those meetings, some of you are just throwing on a shirt before the meeting, and others are like already hitting their third after work drink.
You don't even want to know what I'm wearing right now.
Okay, so getting back to Tens Day, you had written and referenced what you call lore documents in order to establish plot lines for the graphic novel. One of these documents you titled the Hyaline document. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, that's great.
It seems rather rich in its own right. Tell us a little bit about the process. Do you often begin a project by writing a detailed background of the universe for your primary story to grow from?
Well, I'll use Tens Day as an example, because part of like Tens Day was seeded like in Hyaline before I even wrote Tens Day. The genesis of Tens Day emerged, I think, from a conversation in the writing team when I was a part of it. Like over a year ago, at least, maybe, I don't know. It was a while back. One of the team members wrote a description of like a resort, a bare bones resort planet, in like one of these documents. And there was like this attack, and I took it up and I put it on one of the planetary documents that I wrote, and I kind of expanded upon it, gave it, you know, maybe like a good paragraph or two. And I kept on whispering in Justin's ear. I'm like, hey man, you have all this great material. This is a great, you know, universe we're creating and these characters. I go, you know, we could probably do, you know, something more like writing short stories, you know, after we did the initiation. And it's like, yeah. And he was really receptive. And so I'm like, you know, try to do a graphic novel. And with that, I kind of started writing then, like, you know, moving on to like these other lore documents. And the Hyaline document became part of Tens Day, because I mentioned this small colony and this sort of this uprising, sort of minor revolt that was put down. And part of that grievance, that small, like little grievance, became a seed for a major plot line in Tens Day. So for Tens Day, I didn't have like the whole story worked out. I don't generally work that way. But I did have these seeds, you know, from these two lore documents that I wrote like earlier, and I kind of use them as you know, plot lines for the graphic novel. That's kind of how the Tens Day sort of emerged. And in terms of you know, the larger writing process, there's like in my mind, there's like the Dickens version, and you know, there's a Thackeray who wrote Vanity Fair. Dickens, if you look online, you could probably see like some of like his major like sort of outlines that he wrote over and over again, scribbled and like really detailed, or something like Thackeray, he would like put together like a 700-page novel and be like, I don't know. And then like he'd get feedback from some of his readers, you know, like in 1848, and then he'd be like, oh, that's a good idea, or that sounds cool. And he would work that way too. So
I think you're kind of answering my next question ahead of time here, which is you have a diverse cast of characters, you know, teenage vapor addict, security personnel, assassins, orphans, hitmen, and an anarchistic pirate, all playing out their lives in what appears to be a very dangerous environment. So do you develop the story around characters you feel are interesting and let the story build itself on the character actions, or do you design the situation, then create the characters that would fit within the determined plot line? Like, what would seem, the first one seems more like an organic approach, which may be harder to control, but with interesting results. And the latter would be more a designed approach, knowing the final outcome before you really begin writing.
You know, I think I play more a little bit more fast and loose. I didn't have, like I said, Tens Day plotted out. I did have the personnel pretty much sort of lined up, right? And things, you know, you start moving and you start listening. I mean, it's kind of weird to say that, but you know, if you're mindful of a germ of an idea, and you have this cast of characters, the story will take you like places and some surprising places. And that's what's always fun to me about writing. I mean, I think like that's when the fun stuff and interesting stuff happens, when you go up against something that's unexpected, a question emerges, and like, how do you get yourself out? You backtrack, you just like move forward with it. So for me, I think it's kind of, you know, I like to know who first, I think. Like I said, I had the characters lined up, and then I kind of went with it from there. And, you know, once you get a sense of your characters, they don't take lives of their own, but you might be able to see them a bit differently, you know, in, the more you get to know them. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a rambly answer. I don't know if that really answered the question.
On a more personal note, your stories are unquestionably dark, not just emotionally, but the environments you paint seem veiled in a perpetual night. Like classic tragedies, there aren't a lot of people left standing at the end, but there's always something to be learned. Do you relate to your work in that sense, that you have a sinister outlook on life and need to express that, or do you write dark tales purely for the entertainment value?
I think for it's going back to sort of, I'm going to like riff on like the idea of the surprise. In the dark, you don't know what's going to happen, really. If you don't have a flashlight, you haven't like anything to illumine the dark, so to speak. So I think like that might be something that maybe emerges, you know, as a certain kind of sensibility as a writer. And just in terms of like 10th Day and IND, I mean, you know, it's a very gray world, you know, like, I don't think there's an easy answer. I think like Justin, the way he like imagined like this large sort of universe, there's like these mega corporations and these mining colonies, and like they form around like this resistance, this revolution, like the Atlas Confederacy of planets, and they're going at it, like this major like war in space. And then there's this anarchistic pirate who's like the third answer, right? Anarchy started, you know, blow it all up. But there's like no sort of easy answer. And I think like at least for 10th Day, there's some darkness, but I think there's also, if not heroes, there's like, I think the availability of the heroic in a couple of the characters. And I think I think that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to like here save the day, but I want to give like the repository of like maybe hope and heroic, like kind of lies with this sort of character. And for me, just as a writer now, just talking generally, I really am not as interested in like the hero so much. And I think I'm more interested in like sort of you know, the larger community with the hero sort of exists and kind of you know, circulates. And I think like in that sense, I think there's like a more to the hero than just the hero, him or herself. And I think the cast of characters that we're dealing with, like in 10th Day, kind of suggests like it's overwhelming, and not one singular, you know, person or entity is going to be enough to sort of save the day, so to speak.
I wanted to say that you can find a link to the Starboard Games upcoming title, INT or INT, you decide how you want to say it, on the Page Bacon website, and a few links to some of Brian's previous work, which make for a great read. Brian, thank you for joining us, and we're looking forward to INT and 10th Day in the near future.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you guys.
Great. Now, for those of you in the Portland metro area, you can catch our illustrious host, John, performing with Peachy Chicken, one of Portland's longest-running long-form improv ensembles dedicated to the honest exploration of relationships, personalities, and real-life situations. But always with a nod to the fanciful, you can catch Peachy Chicken at Village Ballroom on Friday, November 13th. See the Page Bacon website or Facebook page for more details. And that's it. Thank you, everybody. Good night. Thank you.